Well, praise the Lord for bringing me here again to visit the churches in Eastern Canada. The brothers arrange, we have three sessions of meeting beginning tonight and also two sessions tomorrow. As you see in your outline, we are covering this general subject. Let's read this subject together, the subject title. How about? Amen. How about one more time? Okay. Cooperating with the heavenly ministry of the ascended Christ. This is a subject that we covered recently in the International Training for the Elders in Anaheim. And I'd like to use three of those messages to minister to you all with a particular emphasis concerning this matter of the heavenly ministry of the ascended Christ and the need of our cooperation. We know that the Bible reveals to us that Christ has incarnated, right? He has incarnated himself to be a man, and he lived a human life. Then he also was crucified on the cross for us. Then he resurrected after 3 days. I would say most Christians, they talk about this, these steps of Christ quite a bit, especially concerning his birth, concerning maybe his death, because it relates to our salvation. So we have much appreciation of how Christ was born to be a man, to die for our sins, and some appreciate the fact of Christ's resurrection, that through his resurrection, that God the Father approved what Christ had done, and he justified us through the resurrection of Christ. But, dear brothers and sisters, that our Christ did not only die and resurrect for us. After he resurrected, he also ascended. There is this aspect of ascension that is very little, I would say, least touched, least understood, least applied by most Christians. When Christ was on the earth, he had what we call an earthly ministry that began with his birth, and he lived for 33 and a half years and completed by his going to the cross to accomplish the work of redemption. So that ended, that was the period, what we call, of Christ's earthly ministry. I believe all the children of God appreciate that to the uttermost. I thank the Lord that Christ is my Savior. Christ was born to be a man to bear my sins on the cross, and then he resurrected. But if you read the whole Bible carefully, this earthly ministry of Christ is only a very small part of what is covered, presented in the Bible. After Christ died and resurrected, he also ascended. He is now in the heavens. Tonight, right now, he is in the heavens at the right hand of God. Don't think that he went back to heaven. That's where he came back. That's where he came from. And then he just sat back. He sit there and relax and wait for all of us to also go to heaven one day with him. You know, when we talk about heaven, I think that most Christians, they took that as the heavenly mansion. That's what they are waiting for, to go to heaven one day. So that's all they understand about heaven. As far as today, we just enjoy his salvation. We just enjoy that we have been born again, that we are saved from perdition. As to what is going on in the heavens, who cares? I will go there one day, right? That's all that matters. But brothers and sisters, I hope the Lord in this weekend, we only have three sessions, the Lord will lift us up out of the earth. Bring us out of our narrowness. Bring us out of our short-sightedness. Bring us out of our self-centeredness. When we hear about how Christ can be grace to me, he loves me, he gives, he supplies me, oh, I enjoy that. I appreciate that. Truly, there is that wonderful aspect of Christ living within us, Christ supplying us. He saved us. But you have to realize that it is actually his living within us right now has everything to do with what is going on there in the heavens. After Christ rose from the dead, he ascended to the heavens. Then he began to carry out a heavenly ministry. That heavenly ministry is still going on. His earthly ministry was completed in 33 and a half years. Just a very short time. But his heavenly ministry is still going on. From the day that he ascended to the heavens 2,000 years ago, and is still going on. Yes, I acknowledge talking about heavenly things, it is so remote from us. I don't know it's how many millions of miles away, right? When are we going to get there? And probably it's not in my lifetime. It's so far away, so distant in the future. We don't really understand what goes on and how that connects to us. My burden this weekend is to speak to you that if we want to grow in the Lord, if we want to participate in what Christ is doing today, in his move on the earth, we must cooperate with him, with his heavenly ministry of this ascended Christ. He is not just a crucified Christ. He is not just a resurrected Christ. He is the ascended Christ. What kind of Christ do you have? Is your Christ just a crucified Christ who died for your sins, who shed the blood for you? We see with many children of God, many believers today, in their house, in the churches, cathedrals, they have crosses, right? Because that's what they celebrate. That's what they appreciate the most. Their Christ probably is still hanging on the cross. Some Christians, after believing, they start wearing crosses. They have a necklace with a cross. They're wearing the cross. They love the cross. But saints, our Christ today, he is no longer on the cross. He is in the heavens. He is on the throne. You hardly see this. You hardly hear about this. Talked about Christians. They display the cross, but you hardly see anyone displaying anything about Christ sitting on the throne. I always loved the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, we have a wonderful footnote that I'd like to read to you. This is in chapter 1, verse 3. The footnote. Number 4, part of it, it says, this book, the book of Hebrews, having the concept that all positive things are heavenly, points us to the very Christ who is in the heavens. Then the last part of this footnote, in this book is the present Christ, who is now in the heavens as our minister and our high priest, ministering to us the heavenly life, grace, authority, and power, and sustaining us to live a heavenly life on earth. He is the Christ now, the Christ today, and the Christ on the throne in the heavens, who is our daily salvation and moment by moment supply. This is the Christ we enjoy in his recovery. Not the Christ on the cross, but the Christ in the heavens, on the throne, at the right hand of God. In Christ's earthly ministry, in those 33 and a half years, and particularly in the last 3 years, 3.5 years where he ministered, we know he suffered. He was persecuted. He was misunderstood. He was rejected in order to accomplish the salvation for us, the redemption for us. But now, in the heavens, at the right hand of God, he is no longer suffering. He's no longer being persecution. He is there reigning. He is there ruling. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is exercising the heavenly authority to carry out God's administration, his move on the earth. So what kind of a Christ do we have today? What kind of a Christ are we experiencing today? Do we only know him as the crucified Jesus, who suffered for us, who died for us, who brought us redemption? Or have we gone on to know him? Lord, you are the Christ now. You are the Christ today. You are the Christ on the throne in the heavens. To be my daily salvation. To be my moment supply. We shouldn't think the heaven is just something objective, something far away in the future that you cannot associate with. Then you kind of leave that to somebody else, leave that aside. Saints, as I was just before the Lord with these messages, I felt, Lord, saints, God has saved us to be a heavenly people, right? Even Philippians 2 tells us our citizenship is in the heavens. Our commonwealth is in the heavens. We are a heavenly people. Every believer belongs to the heavens. This is our source. Yet, in our daily Christian life, we live too much earthly life. Our mind is set on the earthly things. Even when we come to spiritual matters, sorry to say that we still pursue spiritual matters with an earthly view, with an earthly tone, earthly emphasis. How does this help me? How does it work for me? You know, many Asians here, many are from China, from Taiwan, Hong Kong, whatever. You know, we are pragmatic people. We like to get things done. We like to see what's happening before us. We want to see things tangible. We want to see something practical. But saints, when we come to the heavenly things, when we come to touch God's economy, it's not a matter of practicality. It's not a matter of pragmatism. It's a matter of this vision of what Christ is doing now in the heavens. We need to be lifted up out of our earthly sphere, our earthly attachment, that we may live a heavenly life on the earth. I hope that we'll see that the heaven actually is not that far away from us. The heaven is not that, not only distance-wise, not even time-wise, the heaven is actually with us here this weekend. We are now tonight in the heavens with Christ, aren't we? Are you in Toronto? I think that would be too bad. Christ is in the heavens. That's where we want to be. We want to be where Christ is. In order to participate in what Christ is doing today, he wants to bring us up out of the earth, out of all the earthly attachments, out of all the earthly ties, to join with him in the heavenlies. And we'll see in these next couple of messages, actually the heavens today is joined right to our spirit. In our spirit is the reality of the heavens. I mentioned to the brothers before the meeting, recently I've been really enjoying Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where the Lord Jesus taught his disciples about prayer. We have to pray, Father, that your name would be sanctified, your kingdom come, and your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Especially these three words really touch me, as in heaven. Yes, we know in the heaven, God has no problem. Everything is done. Everything is carried out smoothly in the heavens. But God's goal is to carry out his will on this earth. And he asks us to pray. Pray for the Father's name to be sanctified. Pray for his kingdom to come. And pray that his will be done on earth as in heaven. As in heaven. These three words just resound within me. As in heaven. The question to me was, do you know what is in the heaven? If we don't even know what is in the heaven, how do you pray as in heaven? Oh, dear saints, the Lord has to lift us up out of our narrow self, out of our short-sightedness, to go up to the heavens, to be brought into that realm to see what is happening there. If we don't know what is happening in the heavens, how can we pray as the Lord instructed, as in heaven, so on earth? What is there in the heavens? Lord, what is happening there in the heavens? What have you done there in the heavens? What is being carried out there in the heavens? It means a lot. It matters. It matters to the working out of God's economy, whether we know the things in the heavens or not. Christ today in his ascension, he is carrying out a heavenly ministry which is still going on right now. We need to see what is going on there in the heavens. In fact, what is going on in there in the heavens will govern, will determine what will be happening on this earth today. You know, years ago I started learning about, we all heard this, the Lord says that we need to bind on earth, right? What has been bound in heaven. Before, when I read that that verse, I read it as, we need to bind on earth, then it will be bound in the heavens. We'll loose on earth, then it will be loosed in the heavens. Now later on in the proper translation I learned, it's not like that. It's actually, the proper translation is, we bind on earth what has been bound in the heavens. We loose on earth what has been loosed in the heavens. So, actually, where does it happen first? Not on the earth, but it's in heaven. We can only bind what has already been bound in the heavens. We can only loose what has been loosed in the heaven. So if we are ignorant of Christ's heavenly ministry, if we are negligent or even ignorant of Christ's heavenly ministry, how can he carry out his move practically on this earth? Nothing will happen. Nothing can happen on this earth without us seeing what he is carrying out in the heavens and how we would render the cooperation with him. We have to know the heaven has already bound, and so now we bind on earth. We know the heaven has already loosened, so now we loose on the earth. What we do on the earth, whether we preach the gospel, we shepherd new ones, young believers, everything that we do is because the heavens is already carrying that out. All we are doing on the earth is a response. It's an echo to what the heaven has done. May the Lord open up this matter to us and indeed teach us to pray as he taught. Lord, as in heaven, so on earth. May the Lord enlighten our eyes that we may see what is there in the heavens. What he is doing there in the heavens. In his heavenly ministry, what has he carried out there? So our prayer is just to apply, it's just to respond, it's just to reflect what is being carried out there in the heavens in his heavenly ministry. Okay, this first message is concerning, the title is Seeking the Things Which Are Above. Seeking the things which are above. Let's read the first Roman numeral together. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I don't know when you first read such a verse, what was your understanding? How do you seek the things which are above? Where Christ is. I read this verse a long time ago, many, many years ago. I always try to understand what are the things above. I thought maybe verse 2 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things which are on the earth. How do you seek the things above? How do you set your mind on the things above? What are these things above? I thought these are the things referring to the spiritual things. You know, such as I have to seek about prayer, to read his word, seek about how to do his work, to save people, to preach the gospel, all these spiritual things. But gradually I learned the things above here refer not so much to the spiritual things that we are in our concept, we try to carry out. The things above refer to this heavenly one, the ascended Christ in the heavens, and all his attainments, his obtainments, all that he is there in the heavens. We need to seek him. We can say something about Christ being crucified for us. He died for our sins. How much can you say about this Christ who is in the heavens? How much can you say about his ascension? I'm afraid if tonight, you know, I put a test to you, I'm not going to do that. I know we'll all be exposed. Not many of us really know that much what is in his ascension. Even if we do, maybe something just as a kind of a doctrine, as a kind of a knowledge. There's much happening, much going on in the heavens, in Christ's heavenly ministry, which is much higher, much richer, much more mysterious, much more stronger than what Christ did on the earth in his earthly ministry. As much as we appreciate that, of what Christ did for us on the cross, but now what Christ is carrying out in the heavenlies is much more higher, much more richer, much more awesome, much more wonderful than what Christ did on the earth. You say amen to that?
Amen.
If you will see, if you will just see what is this heavenly ministry of Christ, what is the, who is this ascended Christ, you have to say a strong amen. Indeed. Oh, what Christ is carrying now in the heavens, in his heavenly ministry, is so much, much more. Our Christ is no longer on the cross. He is now in the heavens. He is now on the throne at the right hand of God, carrying out so many things. And especially, he is transmitting himself directly into us. There's a heavenly connection between the heavens and the earth through this ascended Christ. This is what we're going to see. Okay, A says, now let's see what are these heavenly things. A says, in ascension, Christ is the one who is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the first thing we need to see. In ascension, this Christ, who became a lowly man in his incarnation, he lowered himself even to the position of a slave. Now, through his obedience unto death, God highly exalted him. Now, he is now sitting at the right hand of God. The one says, the right hand of God signifies preeminence, the first place of honor. God highly exalted this one. God made this Christ so preeminent. The right hand is the hand of preeminence. It's a place of honor. Christ is being put in this most honorable position. In his earthly ministry, he became so low. He was a man of sorrow. He was a lowly man. He was despised. He was neglected. He was trodden upon. But now, in his ascension, he is being put in the highest position in the whole universe.
Amen.
Here it tells us, Paul tells us that God exalted him. God exalted him. How about you? Do you exalt him? In your personal universe, do you exalt him? Is he in the preeminent position? Is he only good when he blesses you? He is pleasant to you. He is good to you only when he does good to you. He blesses you. Here in this heavenly scene, the first thing we see is this very one in his ascension was exalted by God in the most honorable position. He is at the right hand of God. And number two says the right hand of God is the first and highest place in the universe. God has put the ascended Christ there, giving the preeminence and the highest honor in the entire universe to Christ. Wow. That's what I would say. God put this Christ in the most honorable position in the entire universe. I mean, this shows how much God loved, God is pleased with this Christ, that he put him in the highest position. The Does he have this position of honor, this position of preeminence in the church today, in your family life, in your career, in your personal Christian life? If we have seen Christ in his ascension, in his heavenly ministry, right away we recognize there's one who is at the right hand of God. He is exalted by God. He is pleasing to God. God treasured him to the uttermost. This has to be the Christ in the church today. In our Christian life, in our church life, we also must exalt this Christ, giving Christ the preeminence, giving Christ the first place. This is not a small thing for us to see this ascended Christ in his heavenly ministry has been exalted by God at his right hand. Now, B says, God not only saved us from the position of death, but he also seated us with Christ in the highest place in the universe. Another wow. Not only Christ is being put in this highest position, but now you and I, as believers, as his believers, as his members, are also included together with him. As I was reading, you know, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 tell us, you know, Paul tells us that, you know, we were dead in our sins and offenses and sins, but then God in his great love, he loved us, and he made us alive together with Christ, and he raised us up together with him, and then he seated us together with him. With him, with him, with him. We know Christ was made alive, right? Yes, he was being crucified there on the cross. And First Peter tells us, in the flesh, he was being crucified. In the spirit of holiness, he was being made alive. Even as he was hanging there on the cross, in his spirit, he was being made alive. And now Paul tells us he was not being made alive alone. He was being made alive together with us. And then we know Christ was raised from the dead. And then Paul tells us we were raised together with him. Amen. And then we also know that he ascended. He was seated in the heavenlies. And Paul tells us we are seated in the heavenlies together with him. When I was reading these verses, I said, Paul, how did you see this? How can you say something like this? Yes, we recognize, yes, Christ died, Christ resurrected, Christ ascended. But now to realize that he died with us, he was raised with us, he is now seated in the heavenlies with us. Because Paul tells us also, it is of God that we are in Christ Jesus. We have been put into Christ, right? In eternity past, God chose us, God predestinated us, and God put us in his Son. He chose us in him. He predestinated us in him, in him, in him. Saints, don't forget, we are in him. We are here as the saints. We are here as the believers. We are here as the children of God. Not because you are better than others, but because God has put you in him, in Christ. These two words are the greatest word in the whole New Testament. In him. When you are in yourself, nothing is worthwhile. In yourself, everything is just filthy rags. But God put us in him. Because we are in him, whatever he passed through, we passed through. When he was crucified, we are in him, we're crucified together with him. When he rose from the dead, we also rose together with him because we were in him. And now, when he is now ascended, he is seated in the heavenlies by faith with boldness. We say, we are also there together with him. This is not a small thing. The pragmatic ones, what does it really matter? I only care for what is happening now. I want something now. I want something done now. I want to have something now. But let me tell you, if you don't have that, you will not have anything now. Christ must be the preeminent one. He is at the right hand of God. And now we see that not only he is there, he brought us with him there. We are included with him in his death, in his rising, in his ascension. Now we are seated with him in the heavenlies. Little one says, it was in Christ that God seated us all together, once for all, in the heavenlies. It's in Christ. Hallelujah for in Christ. Number two, this was accomplished when Christ ascended to the heavens, and it has been applied to us by the Spirit of Christ ever since we believed in him. Dear saints, don't say that, oh, this is too objective, this is just some doctrine. Well, it depends on how you see this. If you are in your mind, you're looking at this, well, this is just another piece of doctrine that we teach, that is taught in the Bible. But if you would turn to your spirit, then you realize there is something in your spirit that echoes, that responds to such a reality. The spirit now is the spirit of reality, who brings us into all the realities. Our seating with Christ in the heavens is a spiritual fact. It's a spiritual reality. And this spiritual reality can only be apprehended, comprehended by our spirit when we exercise our spirit, who is now joined to his spirit. In our spirit, there is such a reality. We can apply, this can be applied to us by the Spirit of Christ ever since we believed into him. And number two, today we realize and experience this reality in our spirit through faith in the accomplished fact. Because this very Spirit, who is the spirit of reality, has now come into our spirit, mingled with our spirit. This has caused the faith to arise in us. This faith is a most wonderful, mysterious, but prevailing sense, giving us an ability to realize the things not seen, the things not touched. Yet somehow, within our spirit, under the transmission by the spirit of reality, causing this thing called faith to rise up in us and say, yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. This is so. You say, show it to me. Sorry, I can't show it to you. Let me feel it. Sorry, you can't feel it. But can you deny it? No, I cannot deny it. This is faith, something that has been transfused into your being through the spirit of reality into our spirit, causing this faith to arise in us, a response to the spiritual fact. What is happening there in the heavens? Christ at the right hand of God. Now we are also included with him in the heavenlies. These are spiritual facts, and when you are in your spirit, and you all you can say is, amen, Lord. This is done. This is accomplished by you. This is not about your feeling. This is a spiritual fact that needs a response from us by faith. You know, these verses in 1 Peter 1:8, right? Peter tells us, whom having not seen, you love. Do you all love the Lord Jesus? Have you seen him? You haven't seen him. You love him? What kind of love is this? Right? People said love at first sight, right? Now you love at no sight. Our love of the Lord Jesus is love of no sight. We haven't seen him, yet we love him. What makes him lovable to you? Faith. Something has been infused into your being, his preciousness, his beauty, his excellency, is transmitted into you, right? Causing you to respond and say, Lord, I love you. Although I have not seen you, yet I love you. I have not touched you. I have not seen you. I have not felt you, but yet you are more real to me. By faith, in faith, you are a reality. Now, C says, the things which are above are the things which are in the heavens, in contrast to the things which are on the earth. Paul says, seek the things which are above. Of course, we know he referred to the things which are in the heavens. But he says, the things which are above. You know, if we say to seek the things in the heavens, I would say that's somewhat maybe objective to us. But to say seek the things above, then we can consider, Lord, where am I? Am I above or am I under? You know, I know, every day in our everyday life, are you above it or are you under it? Many times we are in depression. We are depressed. Right? Some situation, some mishap, some negative things happen. They just cause you to go way down. You are not above. You know, you are under. But here, Paul says, seek the things above. There's something above. Something in the sense of transcendency. If we always under, we're always feeling defeated, always under the realm, the control of the things of the world, of Satan. You know, after a long day of work, after you work 10 hours, you have a hard day of work, after you come back, now that evening is a prayer meeting. Well, you have to get yourself up, right? You were way down there. You had a tough day. Oh, your boss, gave you a hard time. And then, he gave you some warning. You don't behave. You're going to get laid off. And, you were just put way down there, right? And now you came home. That evening is a prayer meeting. You say, I'm not up to it. Because you are not above it, right? You are under it. All these, so many circumstances, we are so easily put us down. Sometimes just a little news, just a little word from your loved one, you know, from your children, from your spouse, from your colleagues, a little word puts you down. But here Paul says, seek the things above. Don't forget, there are things above. These are the things in the heavens. We have to consider, seek the things above. These are the things in the heavens, in contrast to the things on the earth. Listen, one says, the things which are above include the ascended Christ and all the things related to him. And number two, the things on the earth include culture, religion, philosophy, the improvement in behavior, as mentioned in the previous chapter. Colossians 2, right? Paul talks about asceticism. He talks about the behavior of even the self-made, self-imposed humility. The keeping of days, all the religious things. All these things are the things of the earth. Saints, what are we thinking tonight? You all talk a lot about, how was your day this week? And then how about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so? How about this church? How about that church? You know, it's good that we greet one another and we get to fellowship about one another's situation. But many times we just remain in the realm of the earth. Even talking about culture, my culture versus your culture. All the religious things, all the good practices, so self-improvement, all these are earthly things. Has no value as far as God's economy is concerned. And here Paul charges us to seek the things above where Christ is. This is concerning this ascended Christ with his heavenly ministry, with all his accomplishment, all his attainment. These are the things that we need to focus on. How about Christ himself? Yes, you have all these difficult situations. You have all these problem situations. But how about Christ? Consider this ascended Christ. He has no problem. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Well, then D says, in order to seek the things which are above, we must be where these things are. We must be where these things are because we have one position with Christ in his ascension. We can seek the things which are above. We cannot seek the things above if we are not above. We cannot seek the heavenly things if we are not in the heavens. Well, we'll see that a little bit later. How can we be on the earth, yet at the same time is in the heavens? It is possible. The key is our spirit. It's our mingled spirit. Yes, practically speaking, we still have to do our job. We still have to go to school. We have to do our daily duty. But yet, as we are carrying out our normal, mundane human life on the earth, we are connected to the heavens. We are on earth, yet at the same time in the heavens. The position matters. Where are you? Where are you? You know, recently we just had a sixth grade conference. Every year we brought the sixth graders to the mountain and then we preached, gospel to them. And usually there is a message concerning where are you? You know, just like God, told Adam in the Garden of Eden, where are you? Right? Adam, where are you? Where did you go? You have been fine with me. You have been okay in my presence. And now after partaking of the tree of knowledge, you disappeared. You hid yourself from me. Where are you? Our position matters very much. Where we are is more important than how we are. If we are in the right place, God has a way to dispense himself into us. If we are not in the right place, even with our good endeavor, with our good intention, with a strong effort, God will not be able to dispense himself, work into us. That's why at the time for our salvation, God put us in Christ. In Christ, we are made righteous, not because we behaved, we become righteous. It's because we are put in Christ. We are in him, the righteousness. He is the righteous one. He is our righteousness. Now we become righteous. So now we want to seek the things which are above. Paul says, where Christ is. But where are you? If we are on the earth still, we will not be able to seek the things above. We have to be where Christ is. Our position also needs to be in the heavenlies. And praise the Lord that we are in the heavens, right? We are seated together with Him in the heavenlies. This is a fact. If you see it by your spirit with faith, you see it, it's there. We are there. You don't have to try to climb up there. God has put you there. In Christ, we ascended together with Him. All we need is to ask God to open our eyes to see this fact that we are there in the heavens. Don't agree with your present condition, with your earthly position. Lord, thank you that you have put me in Christ. And now in Christ, I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. And I am where Christ is. Now I can seek the things above. Without such a position, we will not be able to just direct our mind to seek the things above, to set the mind on things above. This matter of the position matters very much. Point E, according to the New Testament, the things which are above include Christ's ascension, includes His enthronement, includes His being made the head, the Lord, and the Christ. Number one, Acts 2:36 says that God has made Jesus in His ascension both Lord and Christ. He was made the Lord of all to possess all, and He was made Christ, God's anointed one, to carry out God's commission. Paul, in his gospel message on the day of Pentecost, he spoke this. Let the house of Israel know that this Jesus, whom you crucified, whom you neglected, God has made both Lord and Christ. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is the Christ. Amen. How about let's declare two times together with our spirit, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Whenever you call Lord Jesus, you realize He is not just Jesus, He is the Lord. Of course, as God, from eternity to eternity, He is the Lord. But here in Acts 2, Peter tells us He was made Lord. This speaks of His enthronement. This speaks of His inauguration. In His ascension, there is an official inauguration. Inaugurated this one who has been Lord, now officially, as a man, He is now Lord of all. He is made Lord. And He is made Christ. Lord here means what? Possessor. He is the owner. He is the owner of the whole universe. And He is the Christ, the anointed one, to carry out God's commission. Dear saints, we all belong to Him. The whole earth belongs to Him. He is the Lord. He owns the churches. He owns your family. He owns your business. He owns the whole earth. Amen. Jesus is the Lord. Amen. He is not only the Lord, but He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the one who has been commissioned to carry out God's purpose. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us, we who are joined to Christ, we have been anointed together with Him. We share His anointing. Tonight we can say, boldly say, I'm anointed. Brother, are you anointed?
I'm anointed?
Of course you are anointed, because you are joined to the anointed one.
Yeah.
right? How about you say, we say together, I am anointed. Amen. We are anointed because we are joined to the anointed one. Oh, as he ascended Christ, he is made Lord. He is made the Christ. Then in his ascension, Christ has been made head over all things to the church. As the head means what? It means the source. He is the origin. Saints, as believers, and especially as his body, as the church, we have a head. The church in Toronto has a head. Amen? Who is the head of the church in Toronto? Amen. Right? Don't say, oh, the elders, oh, the co-workers. No, they are not heads. Only Jesus is the head. Christ is the head. Christ heads up the church, which is his body. Not only he heads up the church, he heads up the whole universe. He heads up the whole Canada. He heads up the whole USA. He heads up every country on this earth. The head of the country, every country, is not the premier, is not the president. The head of every country is Jesus Christ. You know, I hate to say this, you know, these days in America, we have the most bizarre situation, administration. But in spite of what's what, we know Jesus is the head. He heads up America. No matter how humanly you agree, you don't agree, you like it, you don't like it, forget about it. Right? Christ is the real head. He knows what he is doing. He knows who to put into office. He knows who to put down out of the office. It's not up to man. Behind all the administration is the highest authority. That is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one on the throne. You know, last year when there was all this election, there were a lot of upset. You know, you heard about it in the news, I'm sure. Even among some young people among us, you know, they were upset. They were upset about the whole election process, the results. Dear saints, we have to learn. Even if we really know, see who is this ascended Christ, what is going on in the heavens, you have to bow yourself, prostrate yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, you are the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. We pray. Every election, through the prayer of the church, is under his governance, is under his authority, is under his administration. You agree with that? You don't agree with that administration? It doesn't matter. God is the one on the throne. We have to acknowledge God's sovereignty. We have to acknowledge God's government, his authority, and we learn to submit to that authority. In every country, in every church, in every household. Don't go by your preference, your choice, your feelings. We have to put that aside. Our Christ, in his ascension, he has been made Lord and Christ. And he is now the head over the whole universe. I believe our Christ is heading up our country, USA, Canada, all the countries of the earth for the working out of his economy. You will see, time will tell to show you. It's not who is the winner, Christ is the victor. As I say, when he was in the earthly ministry, he suffered, he was persecuted, but now in the heavens, he is the one on the throne. He is exercising his authority, his rulership. He is the head over all things. And he is head over all things to the church. I like these three words, to the church. Little A says, to the church implies a kind of transmission. Whatever Christ the head has attained and obtained is transmitted to the church, his body. In this transmission, the church shares with Christ in all his attainments, the resurrection from the dead, his being seated in his transcendency, the subjection of the things under his feet, and the headship over all things. Hallelujah is to the church. Just like the body is now under the transmission of this head. I'm talking about the human body. Every motion, every action carried out in my body is issued from the command from the head. From the central nervous system sending the order, sending the command to cause a certain motion to respond. In the church, it's the body of Christ. We are not a headless body. We have a head. Christ is the head. He is the one who directs all the activities, everything that goes on in the body life, in the church life. He is the head over all things to the church. He is transmitting constantly, continuously to us. Do you believe that? There is a connection between heaven and the earth, between the head Christ, who is now in the heavens at the right hand of God, and we as his body on the earth. There is a transmission, conveying, transmitting, imparting all that Christ is to us. Even right now, even as I'm speaking to you, as you are listening, we are connected to him. You know, in the computer age these days, it's always on, right? Everything, your cell phone is always on. Your computer, you're always on. A spiritual reality is that I am always on. Are you always on? We are always on. There's a connection from the heavens to us. Transmitting. Even when we are defeated, even when we have failures, tell you, the heaven is transmitting more. You know? Brother Lee, many in the past, when we talk about the anointing, right? He said, when you are having a victory, you feel there's so much anointing, you know. How about when you're having failures? When you're having a failure, Brother Lee said, what? You get more layers of paint. He did not stop anointing you just because you fail. That's our concept. But if you see that, we are connected to him. We are under his constant transmission. Even, I don't encourage you to fail. I don't encourage you to be defeated. But even in the normal course of our life, we have defeats, we have failures. But even as we are passing through these different experiences of failures and defeat, we remain under his heavenly transmission. He dispenses. He anoints. He imparts. He transmits all that he is to us. Oh, dear saints, what a blessing to be his body. We are not just some kind of a church group, some kind of a religious organization. We are the body of Christ. As my human body is under a transmission from the head, now as the spiritual body of Christ, we are under the heavenly transmission of this ascended head. Whatever he is, whatever he has obtained, are now transmitting to us as his body. The Lord Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor. He is the pioneer who has cut the way into glory within the veil and the forerunner. He is our high priest. He is our minister, the minister of the true tabernacle. And as the enthroned one, he is the center of God's administration according to God's eternal economy. Many years ago, these are just words to me. But now, through these days, these are not just words. Now, as the heavens begin to open to us, I see this is a spiritual reality. Christ is our pioneer. Right? He is our forerunner. He is the one now crowned with glory and honor. The one who was once despised, crowned with thorn, is now crowned with glory and with honor. He's our pioneer, our forerunner, our high priest, the minister, and the enthroned one. Right? Dear saints, look away from yourself. Right? Turn your eyes from yourself, from your pitiful self. Look at him. He is your pioneer. He has already cut the way. Right? He is the forerunner. He has gone before you. Every day, dear saints, we have to turn our eyes from all our own situation, especially ourselves, to look at this one, the enthroned one in the heavens, the ascended Christ in his heavenly ministry. Whatever he is in the spirit, by faith, we see him. And this is being applied and transmitted to us in the spirit. Such things are the things which are above, and we should set our mind on them. To seek the things which are above is to respond to, is to reflect Christ's activities in his heavenly ministry. Praise the Lord. Amen. I gather, you know, now maybe some of you, this may not be altogether made real to you yet, but I believe as time goes on, I believe even before this weekend finishes, you will see there is, through the heavenly transmission, all these things becomes real to us. You believe, you know, when you come into the hall, you flip on this switch, you're at the dark room, you flip on the switch, the electricity comes on and light, and then power these lights. That electricity is the electricity in the power plant, far, far away somewhere. The moment you turn on that switch, the electricity that you see that powers the light is the very electricity that is stationed, stored, and produced far, far away in the generator, in the power station. Today, in the heavens, there is such a glorious one, the ascended Christ, our pioneer, our forerunner, our high priest, the heavenly minister. He is doing all these things as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is transmitting to us as we call on the Lord, as we turn on the switch. Although the heaven is much far, much, much further, farther away than your power station, but it's as a spirit, he is transmitting instantly into our spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for the heavenly ministry of this ascended Christ. I mean, electricity is a very good example, right? Something so far away can be applied to you instantly right here. If there's no electricity in the power plant, don't expect any electricity here, right? Today, we need to see what is going on there in the heavens so that we can enjoy here on the earth. Now we come to the second section, second Roman numeral. Let's all read that together, please. Amen. Amen. Now we see many things there in the heavens. This heavenly Christ, who he is, what he has done, what he is still doing. And now, in order to seek the things above, to set our mind on them, we need to turn to our spirit. The key to apply all that we have spoken about so far is the turning to our spirit. Saints, don't forget your spirit. Oh, hallelujah for our human spirit. God has made us three parts. God did not just made us a body and a soul that we can think, that we can love. But in the deepest part of our being, there's a part called the spirit. Right? Zechariah tells us that he spreads forth the heavens He lays the foundations of the earth, and he forms the spirit of man within him. Our spirit is as great, as important as the heaven and the earth. This spirit, we need to turn to this spirit, apply this spirit, and also to experience the dividing of our soul from our spirit. Then we'll be able to, while live a life on this earth, we can seek the things which are in the heavens. He says, only when we are in our spirit are we in heaven and mind the things which are in above. Only when we are in the spirit, we are in the heaven. You know, I like in Revelation chapter 4, where John, the angel, tells John, come up here. I'll show you, right? The vision. Come up to the mountain. And then, what does it say? Revelation says what? And immediately, I was in spirit. The angel asked John to come up to the heaven to see the vision. And immediately, John was in his spirit. The moment that we are in the spirit, we are transferred to the heavens. The heavens and the spirit are joined together. We have to turn to the spirit in order to be brought to the heavens. Just like I was illustrating earlier about the switch, right? How do you touch that and experience that electricity in the power plant? You have to touch it by turning the switch here. The very electricity here is the very electricity in the power plant, far away. Heavens, far away, but our spirit is here with me. As I turn to my spirit, I am brought to the heavens, and the heavens are brought to me. When we are outside of our spirit, we are earthly and mind the things which are on the earth. That's it. When you are not in your spirit, you are just an earthly man, an earthly person, right? Your position matters. When you are in your spirit, right away you are transferred, connected to the heavens. When you are not in your spirit, you are just an earthly man. The way to seek the things which are above is to turn to our spirit and call on the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord for this way. Turn to our spirit by calling on the name of the Lord. How about let's call on his name three times together. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I hope our calling would not become something routine, would not become something formal, but every moment, whether the environment allows it or not allow it, right? Audibly, inaudibly, we call on the name of the Lord. By calling on his name, we exercise the spirit, we turn to the spirit, and whenever we turn to the spirit, the heaven is brought down. Or we are brought to the heaven, right? This is the quickest way to heaven. Quickest way to heaven is to turn to our spirit. Call on the name of the Lord. There is a transmission taking place from Christ in heaven to us on earth by means of the all-inclusive spirit in our spirit. Saints, don't belittle this matter. This is too great. We are talking about this cooperation with the heavenly ministry of the ascended Christ. The key here is the turning to our spirit, our mingled spirit that is joined to, united with, the all-inclusive spirit. There is a transmission that is constantly, even continuously, taking place from the heavens to us. Our spirit is the receiving end of the divine transmission, whereas the throne of God in the heaven is the transmitting end. You know, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, you know, there is what's there in the heaven? See, chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, talking about the local churches, in chapter 4, John was brought to a scene in the heavens. He needs to see what is in the heavens. Now he saw the situation on the earth with the local churches. All the mostly are the abnormal, destitute situation. But now in chapter 4, the heavens was open to him. John needed to be brought to see what is going on there in the heavens. How do you take care of all these problems on the earth in the local churches? You need to see the scene of the heavens. And then in chapter 5, we see what? In the heavens, there is this lamb, the lion lamb, who has 7 eyes. These 7 eyes are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Saints, today in the heavens, there is the 7 spirits as the 7 eyes of the lamb, transfusing, transmitting himself to us into our spirit, transmitting heavens to us. It says what? The 7 spirits sent forth into all the earth. How are these spirits sent forth to all the earth? These 7 spirits are being transmitted into your spirit, into my spirit. I pray the Lord will be merciful to us, that we will not belittle, despise these heavenly things just because they seem so objective. They seem so remote from us. But without seeing these heavenly things, there's no way for us to properly work out, live out our Christian life and church life that will cooperate with God's move on the earth. We have a receiving end, which is our spirit, and the transmitting end is there in the throne in the heavens. By turning to our spirit, we are lifted into heaven. May this be so. Saints, by turning to our spirit, right away there is an instant lifting up. Instant elevation. Instantly you are lifted up to the heavens. Because of the transmission from the throne of God in heaven into our spirit, when we experience and enjoy Christ here on earth, we are simultaneously in heaven. Wow. Another wow. Simultaneously, we can be on earth and also in the heavens. By this transmission from the throne to our spirit. In the spirit, we are one in position with Christ, seeking the things which are above. When you're in this position, when you are calling on the name of the Lord, you're turning to the Spirit, you are connected with the 7 spirits in the heaven under that transmission. The heavens and the earth are joined together, are united together. Dear saints, this is real. This is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. This is a reality. You know, Brother Watchman Nee once says this. One time he went to visit Brother George Cutting, who wrote the little booklet, the assurance and enjoyment of our salvation. He was already in his 90s. Brother Cutting, Brother Nee went to see him, visit him. He somewhat recognized Brother Nee, but he could not mentally. He was already kind of in the days, and Brother Nee sat down with him, and this Brother Cutting, he just keep on repeating these words. What did he say? He said what? The Lord needs me, and I need him. The Lord needs me, and I need him. That's all he kept repeating. I need the Lord to live, and the Lord also need me to live. Mentally, he was not clear. Many things. But in his spirit, he knows of this reality that he needs the Lord and the Lord needs him. And he said, this is this union, this spiritual union that he has with the Lord. Although at this stage, he was so old, his mind was not even working right, but in his spirit, he was still under a transmission. He knows that he needs the Lord, and the Lord needs him, and he was under this heavenly transmission. Suddenly he repeated this many times in his writing. He must be very impressed by this. What we are talking about so far is not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just some objective doctrine. This is a reality in our spirit that the Lord wants us all to experience, to be brought into. Now, B, we need to experience the dividing of the soul from the spirit. First Thessalonians 5:23 shows that the soul and the spirit are not the same, but are two separate items. There is a great difference between the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit can be divided because they are two entities and are of two kinds of substance. Regardless of how hidden our spirit is within our soul, they are still two distinct organs. Thus, we need to experience the dividing of our soul from our spirit. Well, we all know that human beings are of three parts. That we were made from the dust of the ground, a human body, and then Jehovah, with the breath of his mouth, he breathed into the nostril of this man of dust that became the spirit within man. And man became a living soul. Man is of three parts, the body and soul and spirit. These three parts are distinct. They are not the same, right? The physical, the body contacting the physical world, and then our soul contacting the psychological world, and our spirit is an organ to enable us to contact the spiritual things, to contact God himself. But our spirit and the soul are very close together. It's like the bone, the marrow in the bone, so close, so intimate within each other, the soul and the spirit. Although they are different, they are two different entities, but they are very close to each other. One of the difficulties in our Christian life and church life is that as we try to live our Christian life, we want to rejoice in the Lord, yet something happened. Some mishap that caused us to become very sorry, to become sorrowful. And right away, that we were subdued. We were defeated. We tried to rejoice, but we can't. The soul affected what our spirit wants to do. So much of our difficulty in our Christian life that we encounter is our soul and spirit are just so mixed up together. You try to enjoy the Lord in your spirit, but something happened in your soul that brings you down, and you cannot rejoice, you cannot enjoy the Lord anymore. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, the word of God is living and operative, and even to the cutting asunder, the dividing of our soul and spirit, and of the bone and the marrow. The word of God is living, is operative to divide our soul from our spirit. As we are walking on the earth, handling many, many earthly things, surely we need our mind to think, we need our emotion to feel, to love, to hate, and we need our will to make decisions. But yet, because our soul is still so much stuck to our spirit, mixed with our spirit. So whenever the Lord wants to transmit something into our spirit, it's being affected by the condition of our soul. By what goes on in your mind, what goes on in your emotion, what goes on in your will, that affects how you receive that transmission from the Lord, from the heavens into your spirit. We need the living and operative word of God to divide our soul from our spirit. Our soul and our spirit should be divided, and it can be divided. We learn this as an example in in Genesis with Jacob. In Genesis chapter 45, in verses 26 to 27, we know that Jacob lost Joseph to Egypt, and then eventually Joseph was discovered, and he was, the second man of Egypt. And the news was brought to Jacob. Jacob, through all these experiences, that he lost hope. He was in great despair of losing his beloved son. And now, all of a sudden, news came to him that his beloved son Joseph is still alive. So I don't know, how about you? You know, if a loved one whom you lost for many years, and now he's still here. He's coming back. Oh, wow, hallelujah. You know, he's back. You'll be beside yourself. But here, Joseph, how did he respond? In those verses, it says, his heart grew numb, but his spirit was revived. His heart grew numb. Through the years, he had given hope. He was not stirred up. Oh, now hearing his beloved son is still alive, now even ruling in Egypt, he should be more than excited. But here, we are told that Jacob was numb in his heart. No feeling. But his spirit was revived. There was something. He was revived in his spirit, but his heart was not yet overexcited. He was numb. Here, if you read the footnote in that section, Brother Lee talks about this is a case of one whose soul has been divided from his spirit. When the heaven is transmitting himself, the ascended Christ, into our spirit, our soul, which is so attached to our spirit, needs to be divided so that we can receive the transmission, the direct transmission from the heavens to us, so that we can be brought to the heavens. So as on the one hand, we are carrying on our human duty, all the mundane human work on the earth, but yet at the same time, we can be enjoying the Lord in the spirit, in the heavens. We are still connected, right? You are, computer scientist, you are a doctor, you are a housewife, whatever you are doing. Some say, well, I'm too busy. I have two jobs. I have a house to take care of. I have a wife. I have five children. I have too many responsibilities. Sorry, I cannot go to the meeting. I cannot be enjoying the Lord. My schedule is too full. It's not your schedule is too full. It's your soul and your spirit stuck together. You are not able to be divided. So while we are carrying on our regular human life, saints, our heart may be numb, but our spirit is revived. The spirit can still transmit himself into us. So what we need today to be under the transmission of the heaven into our spirit, we need a spirit that has been divided from the soul, separated from the soul. Then the means is by the living and operative Word of God. Number 3 says the spirit is so hidden in the soul that it needs to be divided from the soul by the living and operative Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Only this operation, no other operation, no surgeon can divide your soul from your spirit. No earthly surgeon can do that. Only the living and operative Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15 speak of two kinds of persons, the soulish man and the spiritual man. The soulish man and the soul itself cannot understand or receive the spiritual things. The spiritual man discerns the spiritual things and likes to receive the spiritual things and to know and experience the things which are above. It depends on what kind of person are you. Are you a soulish person or are you a spiritual person? A soulish person is one whose soul and spirit are not divided. A spiritual person is one whose soul has been separated, divided from the spirit. So even while he is living an ordinary, common human life on the earth, his spirit can still be connected to the heavens. It is by the spirit that we understand and discern the spiritual things, and it is in the spirit that we desire to have the spiritual things. So praise the Lord for the word of God. I know I heard this afternoon you had a wonderful fellowship concerning getting into the ministry, getting into the publication. We need to read the word of God. We need to get into all the divine truths, because it is through the living and operative word of God, your thoughts and intents will be discerned. It is through the word of God coming into you that you are enlightened. Your thoughts, your earthly thoughts, your natural thoughts, your soulish thoughts will be exposed, so that there can be a separation that takes place. Remember in Genesis, in the creation, in the first 6 days, the first day, God called light into being. And then on the fourth day, there are the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, separating the day from the night. In our Christian life, there should be such a separation. What is of God and what is not of God? What is day? What is night? There has to be a separation in order for the life to be produced. This was a necessary process in the creation for the separation, for the dividing to come in. Before that, it was all darkness. The whole earth was just filled with darkness. But then now, not only a general light, but a solid light, the heavenly bodies to cause the light, the night, and the day to be separated. In our Christian life, the spirit and the soul needs to be divided. The word of God comes in to discern, to make discernment, to expose what needs to be exposed, so that he can bring forth what is of God, what is of light, what is of life, so that life can be brought forth. Life can be produced so that we can be under a heavenly transmission into our spirit directly without being obstructed, frustrated by what goes on in our soul. So lastly, how about let's all read the last point together. Point C. Okay, bye. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love the heavenly ministry of Christ? This ascended Christ? Do you love all these things that go on in the heavens? So maybe at the moment is somewhat obscure, somewhat objective to you, but turn to your spirit. Turn to your spirit and allow the word to come in to discern your spirit, to divide your soul from your spirit. Then, little by little, all these things in the heavens will be made real to you in the spirit. Then there will be a constant, continual transmission from the heavens to us, so that we can be one with the Lord. And then the Lord's life can have his way, have the free way to grow in us, and his move can be brought forth freely on this earth. Okay, I stop here. I think this should be a time. Maybe we can pray with each other for 1 minute, okay? With our neighbor, pray with each other, bring the word you heard back to the Lord, and then we can have a time of response from you, okay?